And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, by the way, I see Chris from Gadsden must be watching us on the live stream because he just texted in and says, I see you're dressed for radio today. Yes, indeedy, I am. I am modeling right now the brand spanking new t-shirt for Right Side. I'm literally giving you the imagery right now of the, we have them in two colors, black with gold lettering, and we have blue with white lettering. Right Side Ruffian in big letters on the front side. For those of y'all who are watching, the American flag patriotically imposed upon the right sleeve, and the logo turn around on the back. Did it show Big Rig? I'm backwards right now.
So. Yeah, you got to turn a little bit more.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay, here we go. How about that?
Maybe they'll be able to see it.
All right. Anyway, good looking shirts. We'll be doing a t-shirt giveaway sometime soon. Just wanted you guys to know there's a new shirt out there, and darn, it makes it. Conservatism look cool. So, Right Side Ruffian shirts are in. Jeremy from Huntsville says, you've outdone yourself again. New favorite monologue. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that, man. It's a labor of love. John from Huntsville says, Phil, fantastic monologue. Also, I noticed you didn't do the Grand Council yesterday. I was wondering, has the Grand Council been canceled? No, sir. Not necessarily. We are looking at some effort to make sure that things stay fresh. Last week, I couldn't do it anyway because I was in trial. Remember that? I had to play a replay show because I had to be in court for a client all day. This week, decided to go ahead and give it a pause and just stand by, brother. Just stand by. Cody from Somerville just texted in and says, Cody, Somerville, Iraq 04 and 05, my first deployment with the 431 Infantry, 2nd Brigade Combat Team, 10th Mountain Division. Appreciate you and Big Rig service. Love the show. Cody, love you back, man. Thanks for your service. Get her done. Have I got a call on the line? I do. All right. Sparky from Harvest. Hey, brother, how you doing?
Hey, enjoyed the monologue. Thank you and your father and grandfather for service. I wanted to brag on my granddaughter. She's going to graduate high school in less than a month. We're going to go down to Florida and visit. And she just raised her hand and pledged an oath. She's joining the U.S. Navy Reserves.
Outstanding.
And, I'm pretty proud granddad. I got the little sticker on the back of my van already.
That's just awesome, man. See, you're already toting that bumper sticker around, huh?
Oh, yeah. I ordered it the minute I heard.
Well, I know you're an Army guy, but having a squid in the family ain't all that bad.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Well, that's good. What special is she going to pick up?
Well, she was aiming to go into a medical field technology or medic, and they're still waiting to hear if that's going to be so. She's going to be going to nursing school when she gets back to Florida. So
good,
that's the direction she's headed. Unlike me and her mother, my daughter, she doesn't faint when the needles come out at the lab.
Listen, man, we had my team in Baghdad. Every one of us had nicknames, and one of our guys, his nickname was Needles, because every time we had to get shots, he passed out.
I was that guy back in the Army when we would do the pre-deployment exercises in the big gymnasiums or whatever. They had to assign another guy to follow me around and catch me. You know, he had to be a catcher.
You'll do acrobatics in a rotary wing aircraft, but the needles get to you, huh?
Oh yeah, Well, I'm almost 65, so I'm a little better now. I tolerate it, but I sure didn't have any control over the fear back then.
All right, man, love you. Thanks for your service as always, and thanks for your granddaughter's service.
Yes. Okay. Bye.
Thank you. That's just cool. I love Next Generation. By the way, that's still one of the things that frustrates me the most. You know, I said I don't mind calling out the leadership. Secretary of the Army Christine Wormuth is a chucklehead, in my opinion. She made the announcement that she did not see the value in having what she called generational or legacy service. In other words, dads or moms whose kids wanted to go in, or in Sparky's case, grandkids who wanted to go in. Why? Because she said, we don't want to create a quote-unquote warrior caste. I look back at that now and think that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Because what you want, literally what you want, is you want a military service that is just so empowering and so inspiring that the next generation watches their moms and dads and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters do it, and they go, oh man, I want a piece of that. And you create those legacies because they see something worth being proud of. So yeah, I don't get it. But congratulations to Sparky. Glad to hear about your granddaughter. Keep us posted on how she does, because I feel certain, based on her genes, she will do well. I can tell you one of the proudest moments I had was, you know, pinning jump wings on my son. That was cool. They actually had, and by the way, they had a second generation jumpers ceremony. So at airborne school, I was there in uniform, which was also cool. I've got a picture of it on the shelf at home. But I went, and they called out all the second generation jumpers, and we had a special pinning ceremony just for them. And then everybody else got their wings too. Very cool. Very cool. Good day. All right. Lots more where that came from. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all are talking about this show goes like, whew, way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. I think I can say that in my sleep. Yeah, so we got plenty of doings here on tap. Let me get a few text messages because I see them just dropping in. If I don't get them now, I'll be way behind. Rose Ellen from Harvest says, regarding the council, anybody be better than the, come on now. You can't be dissing on my man, Dale Jackson. He's the one that got me into radio. She says, suggest Michael Yaffe. Thank you, Rose Ellen. I appreciate you. Nothing cast in stone, but, anyway, Joe from Owens Crossroads, great monologue, spent many hours flying over Solder City. Always interesting. For the next story time, how about the best in-country cigar? Yeah. Joe, thanks for your service, man, and appreciate your time flying over the box. Andrew from Athens says, Grandpa served during World War II. Uncle served in Vietnam. I served for 21 years. Now my four children serve. Man, there's a legacy family. And then he follows up with regards to the Secretary of the Army and said, she is a nut job. Yes, she is. By the way, Andrew, thank you for making it so cool that your kids wanted to be a part of it. Good for you, man. And thanks for your family's service. Chris from Gadsden says, the Secretary of the Army is insulting. Yes, yes, is yes. You know exactly what we're talking about, Chris from Gadsden. Yes, you're right. Raven from Russellville. According to the Secretary of the Army, I and my family must be pretty worthless, especially since my family has participated in every conflict all the way back to the Revolutionary War. Unbroken line. Wow. I guess we're too much of a warrior caste. I'm afraid that before too much longer, this country will be craving men like you and me. Raven standing too. Well, you stay on stand too, Raven, but I'm going to be honest with you, man. Christine Wormuth, I believe, is in the minority because, yes, while I understand that there are people who are concerned about today's military and whether they want to see their kids go in, it is still a very honorable form of service. And I think we're going to wind up being okay as soon as we can get a new commander-in-chief and a new administration. Marcus from Huntsville says, proud member of the warrior caste. There you go. My two grandfathers served a combined 9 years in the Army, but that's the only military in my family to speak of other than myself. My wife's family, however, has a combined 150 years of service. Wow. Three generations, including spouses. My first two tours in Iraq in 03 and then 05 were with 1st Armored Division. There you go. 2nd BCT. 6th Mechanized Infantry Regiment, Gators. Said, I appreciate you and Big Rig's service, and I definitely appreciate the previous generation's service because they afforded us the opportunity to fight for other people's freedoms instead of having to fight for hours they did. Go Army. Yeah, man, listen, by the way, just so you know, when I first got to Baghdad, Marcus, I was with 1st BCT, 1st Armor, and then transitioned to a new battalion under 1st Cav when 1st Armor rolled out. Anyway, appreciate you, man. Thanks for your service. Ken from Rimlap. Say, Phil, you were stationed at Fort Hood? No, I was not. My son was, though. I said, I was with First Team in the early 90s. Ken from Reland. Thank you for your service, brother. Thank you very much. Jerry from Decatur. This ma'am wants, what is she saying to me? Jerry, the Secretary of the Army, I guess. Says, the Madam Secretary wants happy and gay. Reminds me of Hillary sitting there with her hands over her mouth when watching a live feed taking out bin Laden, airborne. Appreciate you, Jerry, airborne. And then Devin from Brownsboro Says, I would prefer generational men and service women as opposed to some of the indoctrinated high school kids I see signing up now. What's your philosophy? Devin, you are on it, brother. Now, I do believe, though, too, some of those chuckleheads on the campuses that are protesting, send them to boot camp, see how they do. It might change their perspective on life. Just saying. And by the way, while we're just doing all that, Big Rig, thank you for your service. For those who don't know, he was a F-16 Air Force mechanic, right?
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Made him go fast.
Yeah, I know rocket science.
All right, jumping right in, that's a great segue. You know what? Gary from Decatur just texted in about the first story in my hands. He says, if the story of the troops in Niger ever gets media attention, I'm sure that will affect enlistments. Gary, I hold in my hot little hands a copy of that story from the Army Times today. Dateline April 24th, so yesterday afternoon. No final decision on withdrawing U.S. troops from Niger and Chad. And so if you didn't know, yeah, we have, I mean, at any given time, we have troops in harm's way or on forward deployments all over the world. It's not like we're just in the war zones, you know, and I know some of y'all know that already, but some of you don't. So be aware that we have troops that are doing, you know, JSETs and other types of training missions and counterinsurgency and counter-terrorist operations all over the place. And we have basing, while it may be somewhat temporary, we have basing in places that you may have no idea that we have U.S. troops. So right now, we got like 1,000 troops in Niger, in Africa, believe it or not. Part of AFRICOM's mission to, you know, help quell some of the violent extremist organizations that are operating in what's known as the Sahel region in that part of Africa. And it's not good right now. It's not good because the Biden administration has made such a debacle of foreign policy. I mean, think about this. Find me a place on the world stage where we are not having to crawfish or try to make up lost ground or repair a relationship that shouldn't have to be repaired at all. It's everywhere. It's in the Pacific region. It's in Africa. It's in Europe. It's unbelievable. In Niger, there was a coup most recently. Soldiers ousted the country's democratically elected president this past July last year. U.S. forces are apparently no longer welcome. What? Yes, we have spent billions in that region. Billions with a B. Billions in that region. But Niger's ruling junta, according to the Army Times, ended an agreement last month that allows U.S. troops to operate in the West African country. The neighboring government of Chad also in recent days has questioned its agreement with the U.S. Joint Chiefs Vice Chairman Admiral Christopher Grady, the nation's second highest ranking military officer, told the Army Times in an interview. The agreements, and I don't know if these are, there's a thing called SOFAs, so it may just be a SOFA, Status of Forces Agreement. I don't know if it's a SOFA or if it's some other type of parlay that we have with them in official capacity. The bottom line is this, though. We're being kicked out of the country after spending billions. And what we're really concerned about is it appears that Russia and China have made inroads into that region, and they're becoming the new favored, you know, relationship. So here we are with U.S. troops spending money, training troops, conducting ops in a part of the world that most of us don't even know how to find it on a map. And they're getting kicked out. And that, to me, is mind-boggling. Now, there were some articles talking about, and this is, I didn't go down this road because I don't have confirmation on it, but I'll just tell you, there are articles out there right now that are suggesting that our U.S. troops are stuck there like they're almost being, you know, prevented from leaving. I don't think that's the case, because I'm pretty sure if we had, I watched what he did in Afghanistan, I get it. But I am pretty sure that if we had 1,000 troops sitting on the ground, waiting for someone to help get them out, we would know more about it. All right. It is the Biden administration, but I don't think that would be allowed to pass muster. I brought that story in on purpose because it's a clear indication that what is happening with our military and what is happening with the use and the employment or deployment of our military is an ongoing problem. I don't think that Joe Biden has ever led anything in his entire life, ever. I don't think he led his own family, for that matter. I don't think he has led a thing. He has had, and I've said it multiple times on the show, I coined the phrase, so I claim it. He has had the luxury of rhetoric without responsibility for his entire adult life. He got elected into the Senate when he was in his 20s, I believe. Became one of the youngest U.S. senators, stayed there for 40 years until he became vice president. Until he became vice president and moved to the executive branch, he led nothing. He has never led troops. He has never led a company. He's never had to cut a paycheck. He's never had to question the budgets. He's never had to do anything like people in the private sector do. He just got a government paycheck to be in the Senate for 40 freaking years. And then he became the VP, and now he's the president. And his lack of leadership and his lack of experience is telling. And we're seeing it right now in the fact that our U.S. military is being treated like it's been. When you have third world dictators telling us how they're going to handle us, as opposed to us saying, no, you don't apparently understand your life right now, it's not going to work that way. I mean, I'm of the firm belief that if Trump was in office, for that matter, pick any other president and put him in office. But the majority of the presidents that we have ever had, and I believe this would definitely include Trump, if this thing with Niger had happened on their watch, they would have sent word that you apparently don't understand life as we know it. And no, that is not what you're going to do. And all it would take is one phone call from me, and a Tomahawk cruise missile would come through the door of your palace, and you would no longer have the ability to tell us anything. So we're going to stay there, and we're going to operate for a while, and you're going to enjoy the billions that we've been spending in your country, and then you're going to sign that status of forces agreement because you're not going to walk away like this. And oh, by the way, don't ever refer to our troops that way again. But no, we got Joe Biden. So a new report came out that I'll tell you about right after the break. But for the second year in a row, the Heritage Foundation, which is one of the most respected think tanks, at least on the conservative side, one of the most respected conservative think tanks in the nation, the Heritage Foundation, in their department that deals with military and American foreign policy interests, they have done an annual report called the Annual Index of Military Strength. It's where they go through and this year is a 664-page report. I've got a copy of the executive summary that's summarized by Fox News. Y'all, it ain't good. 2 years running, they have ranked our military as, you ready for this? Weak, with a capital W. And that is, by the way, not a partisan thing. They go through with the analytics and they tell you the whys and the wherefores, and they give you, you know, references as to things like their current obligations and their capacities and whether or not they have the ability to meet current mission for recruiting and what's going on with weapons and the aging of weapon systems. And they come up with their conclusions. We'll take a break right now. When we get back from this break, I'll tell you what the Heritage Foundation just said about our U.S. military in a report that came out in the last 60 days. And it ain't good. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. I got a story here on military.com doing number one of the triple dipper here and calling it military-minded. So I'll get to that report from the Heritage Foundation momentarily, but just know this. I think one of the issues that we've got right now is that our military is constantly being harangued. What do you mean, Phil? I mean they're being harangued. It's one thing for having, you know, like Hamas say bad things about you or liberals marching on the street saying bad things about you. I get it. But when your own, you know, senior service members are saying, you know, we got a real problem with extremism in the ranks, and you know you don't. Like, for instance, there will always be a chucklehead, right? There's always going to be that kid. There's always going to be Joe who just doesn't quite have his head screwed on straight, and you got to help him screw it on. But they're the one-offs. There's no systemic racism in our ranks. There's no systemic extremism in our ranks. Story here on military.com came out 2 days ago. Nomination of an Air Force officer is at the center of the GOP's fight against the woke military extended to 2025. So here's the thing. When you're an 06, a colonel, and you get picked up for promotion to your first star as a general officer, it has to get confirmed by the Senate. It's usually a matter of courtesy, but every once in a while, you saw the stuff with Senator Tommy Tuberville, where he put a hold on those military promotions for a while and made, not that they couldn't get it, just made it that they couldn't just get carte blanche. They didn't just get a freebie or a free pass. But every once in a while, one of them comes up and people look at it and go, dang, that guy got our attention. And no, we're not content just to give him a free pass, just him by himself. Air Force officer whose promotion to Brigadier General has been stalled by a Republican senator fighting against diversity initiatives in the military has been granted another year to try and win his Senate confirmation. Huh. So Colonel Ben Johnson is an Air Force officer serving at Chief of Staff of the Air Mobility Command. He got some attention back in 2020. You know 2020. 2020, the year of, you know, the summer of love and the Black Lives Matter riots and everything with George Floyd and, you know, just the whole thing. He has now become what this article calls an avatar for conservative lawmakers and pundits who fight against what they consider to be a left-wing agenda infiltrating the military. Back in, get this, an active duty officer, as an 06, wrote an op-ed that was published in the Air Force Times in 2020, in which he called upon all of his other fellow white colonels to recognize that, quote, we are largely blind to our institutional racisms and we take offense to any suggestion that our system advantaged us at the expense of others. Shut up, man. Don't give that guy a star. He just basically wrote an op-ed that was published for the general public insulting the entire rank structure of the military, calling on his fellow white colonels to recognize that we are largely blind to our institutional racism. Institutional racism is a buzzword for we're all racist and we have privilege. And I'm just going to tell you right now, I have never seen that. Never, never seen that. Have I seen the occasional chucklehead who I thought did a bad job? Yeah. Have I seen the occasional individuals who I thought had a chip on their shoulder or maybe had some predilections on, you know, behaviors in their off-duty that I didn't think were wise? Yeah. Have I ever seen systemic racism? No. And I guarantee you, all you out there who have been in green suiters or currently are, you haven't seen it either. But this guy wants his star. It's getting held up. And I'm saying, good on him. How about you hold it up for a while longer? Like, oh, I don't know, maybe never. That's the kind of crap that we don't need. That's the kind of leadership that's not leadership. Well, I believe that I did lead. I called upon people to recognize things that they didn't want to think about or hear. Maybe because they weren't there, sir, and you were pandering. You were pandering hard. You were pandering and you were looking for that star. And you thought, here's a quick way to get it. I'll go out there and be the guy. And I'll say all the DEI, CRT stuff, and they'll know who I am then. Yeah, they know who you are now, buddy. And guess what? They're putting a hold on you. So in the middle of recruiting, I do have this. I mean, it's encouraging. In the last 4 days, Federal News Network says the Army and the Air Force are optimistic about their recruitment, but the Navy is falling behind. For nearly a decade, it says the Army's not been able to. It's not a decade. Boy, they are trying to rescue. They're trying to rescue the Biden administration. For nearly a decade, we've had a real, real problem. No, actually, you haven't. There may have been times when it was slow, but dude, nothing like right now. Let me combine this with another article. I'll combine it with this one. Fox News, February 27th. The U.S. Army is cutting its force structure by 24,000. This is not good. So because they can't meet mission, the Army is going to cut the number they have to recruit to meet mission. And then they're going to come back and go, we are now optimistic about meeting mission. Well, yeah, you lowered the bar. I mean, what did you think was going to happen? Well, we're pretty sure we're going to meet our recruiting goals now. That's because you cut them in half. They were off by 41,000 last year. 41,000 short. But they cut it by 24,000 this year. Oh, that's good. That'll help you in the numbers. I'll tell you more about this, and I'll get to that study that came out from the Heritage Foundation right after this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and Just plain right. Welcome to hour number two already. Good heavens, where did hour number one go? I'm talking about military-minded, and don't forget, by the way, coming up bottom of the hour, we'll switch over to Butters and Lee coming in at 3:30, so I'm looking forward to that. So here's this story off Fox News. I was talking about it right before the break. U.S. Army cutting its force structure by 24,000 amid recruiting shortfalls. As the U.S. Army struggles with recruitment, the service is cutting its force by about 24,000 in a restructuring that it says will help the service fight future wars. Let that sink in. The almost 5% of the jobs cut will mostly, they're downgrading the Army force structure by 5%. Good gosh. It says most of the jobs being slashed are related to counterinsurgency positions that grew during the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, but are not in high demand today. There will also be about 10,000 posts cut from cavalry squadrons, striker brigade combat teams, infantry brigade combat teams, and security force assistance brigades. So let's do the math. If you're cutting by 24,000 and 10,000 of those are from the combat arms and the, you know, the SFABs, the security force assistance brigades, then you're really not able to truly say with a straight face that most of the jobs being slashed are related to counterinsurgency positions, because CAF squadrons, striker brigade combat teams, and infantry brigade combat teams are not necessarily COIN. All right. Those are the combat arms. Okay. Anyway, I'm not gonna bother explaining it. You get it. It says the Army is currently overstructured. Whatever. Despite the cuts, the Army said it's looking to add another 7,500 troops for other critical missions, including air defense and counter-drone, which I get. We need it. I get it. And 5 new task forces around the world with enhanced cyber, intel, and long-range strike capabilities. Okay. The U.S. military missed its recruiting goal in 2023 by 41,000, facing a recruiting crisis. So, the Army and the Air Force is now optimistic, though. That was that study right there, report I just read you came out in February. So here, just a few days ago, Federal News Network, the Army and the Air Force are optimistic about their recruitment. The Navy is falling behind. The Army wants to bring in about 55,000 new recruits. Army Secretary Christine Wormuth said she's feeling a lot better about recruiting this year. Says, I don't want to be overconfident, but I think that we have a good shot at making goal this year. She said the service is doing better this year, partly due to its success of Future Soldier Prep Course, which, by the way, I'm good with that. I recognize that there might be limitations that some have faced that can be overcome given the opportunity. And so what they're doing is they've got this prep course in that if you come in and you don't make weight or you don't make PT, physical training, then they'll send you under contract to a almost like an assessment and selection kind of thing, but they'll spend time with you building you into what you need to be able to go to basic training and start. And it's been successful. They've had 18,000 soldiers graduate from the prep course, and of that, 95% have graduated from basic training. So I'm okay with it. I'm good with that. But she says there's an academic track for young people who haven't quite scored high enough on the tests that we use. And then there's a physical track if you're not quite within the body fat standards. Young people can take one or the other. We've now expanded it. We can take them in parallel. Look, what they're doing is they're saying, if you spent your entire life playing Game Boy and you didn't have great grades, then we can work with you, but you're going to have to work. I'm good with that. Still, the Army set a lower goal for itself this year. In 2023, the goal was to bring in 65,000 new soldiers. Earlier this year, the service decided to bring down its authorized troop strength. Yep, they sure did, 24,000. And then it goes from there. So here's the thing. What else have I got in the stack before I do? Oh, I will tell you this, though. Big Rig, you still have time if you want to get back in, just so you know. The Air Force is raising its age limit for recruits to 42. You can be 42 years old and get back in.
Nice.
I'm just saying.
Hey.
Apparently I passed that bar a long time ago, but nonetheless. That's probably Charlene texting me right now saying, don't do that. Says the Department of the Air Force expects to add about 50 more recruits per year after lifting its maximum age limit for initial accessions to 42.
Oh, would I have to go to the basic again?
Nah, dude, man, they give you credit. Sure, it'd be great. Come on, sign up. What do you want to do? You want to be a Green Beret Special Operations Agent Orange guy? You can do it.
Huh.
I don't know, man. I don't know what the standards are. Yeah, I mean, surely they would give you credit for what you brought. Of course, it's been a few.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a minute since you were in.
Yeah, they might have to do like a refresher course.
They don't even have F-16 mechanics anymore, do they?
I don't know. Probably not. They're on to something new now, right?
Yeah. The maximum age limit is 42 for the Navy and the Coast Guard, 39 for the Army with waivers, and 28 for the Marine Corps. 28. The Marine Corps is like, screw y'all, we're taking young guys. They do have waivers for like positions like healthcare and ministry because it's, you know, it's okay. But anyway, it's getting mixed reactions, you can imagine. And there's also financial incentives. You can get college loan repayment. You can get enlistment bonuses. There's all kinds of things they're doing trying to up the game on the recruiting. And they need to. God, they need to in a big, big, big way. Because of the report that I've been teasing you about for the last 30 minutes. So the Heritage Foundation does an annual index. For the last 10 years, they've done this. They just came out with the 10th annual index of military strength. They released it in January of this year. For the second consecutive year, the study has now ranked the U.S. military as weak and warned that a lack of action could leave the armed forces incapable of defending vital American interests. Oh, man. So here's the deal. The article I've got here from Fox summarizes the 664-page report. It says that it paints a dire picture of the state of the U.S. military with its current posture being rated as weak by the index for the second consecutive year. Here's a quote. You ready? Quote, the current U.S. military is at significant risk of being unable to meet the demands of a single major regional conflict. Used to be that the concern was, can you do a two-front war? Now they're concerned about a single major regional conflict. Like picture, like if Ukraine went nuclear or NATO got called in and we had to send troops there, could we sustain it? While also attending to various presence and engagement activities. In other words, we can't sustain current ops if a major regional conflict also kicked off. The report rates each branch of service in its strength and capacities, capabilities, and readiness, rating the branch power as either very weak, weak, marginal, strong, or very strong. The Air Force rated as marginal in both capacity. Sorry, Big Rick. Marginal in both capacity and capability while weak for readiness. Not good. The Navy came in as very weak in capacity, marginal in capability, weak for readiness for an overall combined weak rating. The Army did not trend a lot better, it says. The report found that the Army comes in with weak on capacity, marginal on capability, but very strong on readiness, which is interesting because their recruiting's down, resulting in an overall rating of marginal for the U.S. Army. Heck of a thing when I'm proud that my service won the whole deal by being marginal.
What about Space Force? Are they doing anything?
Space Force came in about the same as, where is it? I got it right here in the article. Space Force and the Army came in about the same. Yeah, they did. They came in marginal. And then the point that's made here, in just 2 years, the active duty Army has shrunk from 485 to only 452,000 troops. It directly both impacts readiness and effectiveness as the Army is unable to man its formations and the recruitment shortfalls caused the Army to cut its in strength in 2023. That's right. I forgot that. So we cut 12,000 from our Army in strength in 2023. We cut another 24,000. So the Biden administration has now cut 36,000 positions from the U.S. Army alone while also missing mission on recruiting, while also having the first ever in 10 years, actually the second ever, ranking of weak for capabilities overall. It's just, listen, it ain't good, y'all, but it's correctable. It always is. It's absolutely correctable. I remember distinctly my dad talking about serving through the hollow army of the Carter era, and then we had the Reagan administration. And I actually went into the service during the Reagan administration, and it was a high time to serve. And it wasn't because we were out there fighting wars and going places, and there was a different level of esprit de corps. There was a different level of pride in what we did. There was a different level of funding and effort to make sure that the military had what it needed to do its job. And there was also, by the way, a different sense that those who were in charge cared. It's a whole different day. And my dad and some of y'all out there served through that hollow year, those hollow years of Carter. And I say it all the time. It took a Carter to bring us a Reagan. It did. It took a Carter to bring us a Reagan. And I'm just praying right now that it's going to take a Biden to bring us the next version of Reagan. And at this point, right now, Donald Trump is the nominee. And I'm just praying that he has the opportunity to serve and to make things proud. I will say this. The report that I've got here in my hands from Heritage ends with this. It says the military's weak rating comes at a possibly the worst time in recent memory, with the U.S. facing multiple crises across the globe. Russia's continued war in Ukraine, the fight against global terrorism, increasingly hostile postures by Iran, North Korea, and China. And according to the report, China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, and other non-state actors all pose a high threat to vital U.S. interests. Anyway, it's being military-minded. I do believe we need a change in leadership. I think that rank and file is still made up of good young troops and officers who will get the job done if called upon. But they need leadership, and they need somebody out there who's not going to be blaming them for things that are, you know, social agendas, so to speak. Let's get back to the business of fighting wars. Go places, break things, win, and come home. That's what it's about. All right, folks, we're going to take a break right now. I'll come back and I'll get a whole bunch of your text messages, because some of y'all are some texting machines. And then coming up, bottom of the hour, Butters and Lee. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Making it cool to be a conservative. Just saving the world. One soundbite at a time. Hey, by the way, I got to follow up with some announcements. Don't forget this. Brand spanking new podcast is out. It is a video podcast. So Right Side Media is the parent company of Right Side Radio. Right Side Media does more than just radio. Of course, this is our bread and butter. This is how we got started. 3 hours a day right here live with you on stations all over North Alabama. But Right Side Radio is only part of it. I also write an op-ed that comes out in news outlets all over the state every week. So there's the written piece of what we do. And then we take the show every day, and Big Rig will put it in podcast format, clean it all up, take out the advertisements, and send it up there to our podcast. It's on every single podcast platform known to God's green earth. And it's getting all kinds of hits now.
We're up.
I'll be honest with you. I think the way you've been producing that has increased the downloads.
Thank you. I think so, too. I think the numbers are going up. I'm just seeing green numbers. So.
I like green numbers.
Yeah.
Can we have some of green dollar signs attached to it, too? That'd be awesome. And then the other thing we just did, though, this week, just rolled it out. Press release went out on Monday, and it got picked up by several news outlets. But there's a brand spanking new video podcast, the first in what we believe will be a series of several podcasts. This one's called The Right Philosophy, and The Right Philosophy is available for you on our website. Go to rightsideradio.org. And there's four of them in the hopper already. The newest one came out yesterday. So I'm talking from my home, and video, the quality is good. I'm proud of it. And really appreciate our production staff taking care of that. But there it is. Brand new stuff. Bunch of text messages. Let's see what all we got here. Let me go back and scroll down to the bottom and work my way back up. Michael from Madison says, not being able to serve, as always, has been my greatest regret. Don't regret it. Do not regret it. I graduated in 02, so recruitment was at a really high peak after 9/11, and my hearing loss put me under the threshold. I was denied after applying at three different branches. Michael, what that just told me right there is you're whether you are in uniform or not, you have a service heart, and that's what matters. The fact that you went to three different branches trying to get in, brother, I appreciate you more than you know, because there's a whole bunch of folks that never did any half of what you did. So thank you. Stay in the fight, Michael. Part of it's the heart and the mind, brother. Steve from Tennessee says, we are now taking woke ideology with our military everywhere we go, pushing it. Many sane cultures want us to take our woke world and leave. Wow. Steve from Tennessee. Grandma Wanda checked in. Grandma Wanda, how are you doing? She says, military family. And then she says, was Jay in the 101st? I don't know if she's asking me, maybe she was asking about Jerry from Decatur, because he always says airborne but anyway, Jerry from Decatur, I believe, was in the 82nd Airborne. But if you're talking about a family member of yours, Grandma, thank you for that. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, I beg to differ with you. There's a lot of extremism in today's military, and it's all at the top. Well, okay. Extreme wokeism and extreme stupidity. Okay. I'll give it to you, Jeff. Don from Cairo says, as a two-tabber, master jumper, CIB, lawyer, 26-year municipal court judge, pilot, diver, lieutenant colonel, Army SF unit commander, wow, I like your show. I don't have any use for the two grand council people. Oh, really? What's their expertise? Talking about stuff that they've never done? Oh, man, come on now. They're good dudes, both of them. And I think the world of them. Anyway, but that's, okay, two-tabber, master jumper. So you're Ranger, SF, Special Forces, master parachutist, combat infantryman's badge, and you're a lawyer.
His resume kind of sounds like yours.
That's very cool. Don from Cairo. Hey, Don, just send me another text when you get a minute and tell me how to find you. Brian from Decatur says, this is a question related to all the topics being discussed. If President Trump is convicted of a felony in New York, which I think everybody believes will happen, even if he's 100% innocent, does that mean that Biden just gets an uncontended win for the presidency? No. It's because, as you know, every other Democrat state will remove him from their ballot or refuse to count his votes. No. Okay, so here's the thing. I can't speak with authority on this. We probably ought to get John Wall on the show to talk about it. But what I would believe would happen is at the convention, because this trial is going to be over in the coming weeks. Our convention's not until July. I think it's July. And I believe that we would have no choice but to nominate from the floor. I am hoping that doesn't happen, because I'll be honest with you, at this point, even if Trump was not your favored candidate in the primary, he's our primary guy now, and what we're watching is wrong. And if they can do this to Trump, they can do it to anybody. All right, I didn't get all the texts. I'll get the rest of them later on, but just know this. Y'all keep on texting, 833-687-4448. Coming right back, Butters and Lee. Y'all stay tuned.